live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hi, and welcome to episode 14 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Apologies for our little hiatus last week. We were extremely jet-lagged and needed to get our house back in order. As you can tell from my voice, I'm battling yet another cold, and as you'll tell from Rich's voice, say hello.
Hello.
He's also battling a cold. So bear with us. We'll try not to sniffle too much throughout this recording. But today we're going to be talking about... first of all, we're going to give you a little rundown of our visit to America and what wonderful things we got up to. We did post a fair amount of stories and pictures to Instagram, so you could keep up with us along the way. But also we want to talk about... the first time, what it's like to go home and visit your family after you've moved for long distance, and just kind of what it can be like, you know, going back, what to expect, and kind of my experiences with that. So first of all, babe, what was your favorite thing that we did when we were away?
Probably the basketball.
Basketball game?
Yeah, we went to the Lakers.
Yeah, we saw a Lakers game in LA. That was really fun with my sister and her husband, double date. That was really good. They did lose, unfortunately.
But it was my first sort of sporting event, like proper sporting event.
It was my first basketball game. I've been to baseball and football games in America, but never.
Yeah, so it was nice. And then, like, so there's double date. It was nice even out. First time we'd really been in sort of downtown LA. Saw the homeless crisis there, didn't we?
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, well, that was just driving in. So the Staples Center is kind of pretty downtown. And, yeah, there were, like, tents and trash.
Just garbage, everywhere. People picking through it.
I mean, my sister said that that's a lot more of a recent thing. I mean, it certainly wasn't. I mean, we didn't go to LA a lot when I was a little kid. But when we did, it was... I don't remember it ever being like that.
Yeah, that was fun. And then what else did we do?
We went to Universal Studios.
Oh, right. That was fun.
That was really fun. And it was tons of us. Rich's mum and stepdad were out there at the same time, so we did see them a couple times. They were mainly doing sightseeing and kind of traveling around California and Arizona. But they went, my sister, her husband, and kids went, both my parents went, and my brother popped up for the day, and then us. And that was really good. Rich isn't too big into rides and stuff, so he avoided that kind of thing, but there's still tons to look at. We did the studio tour, which was probably your favorite thing, wasn't it, from the day? The studio tour?
Yeah, but I like the gift shops too.
You like the gift shops? The studio tour is pretty cool because you can see different sets. We drove the set where they're filming The Good Place, which we've recently gotten into watching, so that was kind of fun. They've got the house where the old Psycho film was made. They've got some of the sets from Jaws, yeah. I was going to say Jurassic Park, but I didn't mean that.
They did have Jurassic Park.
Well...
The little Jurassic Park exhibit area. The cars.
I don't know that they filmed anything there. Yeah, and they have, like, some, like, simulators that, like, the tour bus stops in. And, like, there's a King Kong one where it looks like, you know, it's, like, all video screens and stuff. Anyways, that was really cool. And recently at the Universal Studios Hollywood, they've added all the Harry Potter stuff. So there's now the Hogsmeade Village that, like, leads up to Hogwarts. And it was really good. I think it's smaller than the one in Orlando seems to be, but it was really good. And in the evening, they do a light show onto, like, the castle on the outside of it. And it was really, really good. It was fun. And we had a great time just being with the family, seeing some rides. Oh, we did the Walking Dead experience.
And you nearly had to change your pants, didn't you?
Yeah. It's funny because I love horror movies. I love scary stuff. I love watching a movie and having that I'm scared feeling, but I don't like it in real life. And it wasn't even real, but it's basically like a... For those of you that watch The Walking Dead, it's the hospital that Rick wakes up in like episode 1 or 2 or whatever it is, like where it has like "Don't open, dead inside" written on the doors. So it's like you're walking through this hospital, and they said when we went in, like, no one's going to touch you, but there's actors dressed up as zombies and they lunge at you and they come up to you, but they don't touch you. And that's probably the only reason I agreed to go in, because I don't like I've never liked like at fairs and carnivals, the haunted house stuff where people jump out and touch you. But there was one point, there's like this hallway and it's got a bit of a curve in it. And in the middle was a guy, and there's like, he's behind a chain link fence and there's a hole in it, and he was putting his arm through, like pawing out at us. And I'm like gripped onto you, And my mom was walking behind like it's no big thing. Your mom was pretty creeped out too, I think. And I'm grasping onto your arm. And we walk around the corner. And I didn't realize that there was a security guard behind us.
Yeah, you bumped into him.
And I bumped into him and he was like, excuse you. And I just turned and I said, ah! Scared the crap out of me. But yeah, it was a good day. It was a very good day. And we also did lots of shopping, which was fun for my family. And we also got to spend a lot of time with my best friend. And I got to spend time with her on her own. And I got to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. Christmas was quite the busy affair. There was like 24 people at my sister's house. It's funny, my nephew the next day was like, "There," my six-year-old nephew, mind you, "there were a lot of people at the house yesterday. I thought for sure someone was going to break something." He's a little worrier. But yeah, it was great. We were there for just under 2 weeks and we got back.
Saturday?
Last Saturday. So we've been home for just over a week now. Finally have passed the jet lag stage. For me, it took me quite a few days. You seem to do okay with it after first couple of days.
I thought we slept forever on Sunday.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So we got back Saturday. I managed to sleep a couple hours on the flight. You didn't sleep at all. Not even a minute. So I was okay during the day because what happens is when you leave Los Angeles to fly to London, at least the airlines that we've always used, it's an overnight flight. So you leave at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon in LA, fly for the night, and then you land in London at like 10 or 11 in the morning. So
you have to be awake all day.
Yeah, so it's best to try and sleep on the flight, and then you have some juice to get you through to the end of the day. So I did, which was good, and I felt pretty okay. You were a bit tired, but you had a few second winds, lots of coffee, sorted you out.
I haven't got much coffee, but I just kept busy.
Yeah.
I made sure I had stuff to do, and then...
Well, we did, like, we got home, we went out and got some lunch, and we had to get, like, some, you know, a few things from the grocery store, and then we came home, unpacked, took showers, and then, like, started getting dinner ready. You know, we had stuff to do to keep us busy. But then the next morning, I woke up at, like, 4 and was wide awake until about 5:30, and you were dead to the world. Then I went back to sleep and thought, oh, you know, I'll wake up in a couple hours. That'll be good. And the next time I opened my eyes, it was 10 past 11, and I was like, holy crap. And I went, babe, wake up. Like, we need to get up. And you're like, why? I'm like, it's 11. And you're like, so? So then we dozed until probably about a quarter to 12, and I thought, this is going to be bad. Like, we're not going to be able to sleep tonight. So we got up.
Oh, I'd been awake for 31 hours, though.
Yeah, you had, yeah. But it would have been better if we had just slept for, like, 10 hours instead of 13.
Yeah.
Although it didn't seem to affect you very much. So that day, we just had to do some bits, finish some Christmas shopping. And then, yeah, I couldn't get to sleep until almost 5 the next morning. We had a few days off work, which is good, before we had to go back. But we still had lots to do, like, with family on Rich's side, because we hadn't seen any of them for actual Christmas. So it was a bit rough, and then by the time we went back to work on Wednesday, on the 2nd, it was, I hadn't had much sleep. But we've survived, and it was really, really good. We got to eat amazing food. None of my jeans fit now that we're back. Oh, after a few days, they do. But I was pretty bloated when we got back. So one of the things that I wanted to kind of mention, I think the most recent episode we did is, you know, how to get yourself through the holidays, you know, for the first time if you're away from your family, or just if it's not your first time and it's something that you struggle with because you're the person who moved to be with your long-distance partner. One thing that really struck me the very first time that I went back to see my family after I'd moved out here. So at that point, I think I'd been away for about a year and a half. I'd seen my parents a few months after I moved because they came out for our wedding a couple months after I moved out here. And then my mom came the next summer. But I hadn't been home, and apart from my mom and my dad, I hadn't seen anyone. And I was surprised at how sort of, not out of place I felt, but how I wasn't sure what my place was. Because obviously, my mom had redecorated my room pretty much straight after I moved, because she found it really hard. You know, she didn't throw my things away, but she, you know, she packed them in the closet and stuff, because going in my room just made her feel so sad. So between that and like staying with family and traveling around, I guess I didn't really know what my role was in the family. Do you remember me talking to you about that at all?
Yeah.
What do you remember me saying at the time? Do you remember me saying anything particular at the time?
Mainly just how you felt a bit detached.
Yeah, I did. I felt really detached. I felt, you know, everyone welcomed me with open arms. There was no, oh, you left. I mean, there was genuinely none of that. My mom had a really hard time with it, but there was no anger in me going away or anything like that. So, yeah, I just felt really detached. Like, I didn't know if it was going to be some sort of self-preservation thing. Like, I was trying to protect myself so that I didn't feel too sad. I enjoyed the trip, and we had a great time. But, yeah, there was certainly a, well, who am I here now? My life isn't here anymore, but my family is. So how does that work?
And well, and life had carried on as normal for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it had. I think by the time we went back, I think my sister had another baby.
Yeah, she had Ian.
Yeah. I was trying to think if that was the first, the second time, but I think that was the first time we went out there.
Well, yeah, it would have been because he's six now.
Yeah. So obviously I hadn't been there throughout the pregnancy, so it was kind of weird. Like, she had just had a baby, and this baby existed, whereas with my niece, because I still lived there at the time, you know, I was there for that. I was there for her baby showers, really involved. And now suddenly she had a kid. I just felt like I'd missed a lot and felt quite strange about it. And you know, maybe for people who don't live quite as far, you know, maybe if your distance is only a couple states away or a few hours away, you know, maybe because you can get back more often, maybe that's not such an issue. But I think for people who are thousands of miles and many time zones away, who, you know, you can't get back because it's so expensive. That might be something just to bear in mind if you're going to be back and seeing your family for the first time, or yeah, maybe just kind of prepare yourself that it might not feel like going home. So things are going to feel a little bit different. I mean, even though everything's familiar and it's what you know, your role has changed and that you're not there on a regular basis as an active part of the family in the same way that you once were. Of course, you're still, well, depending on your situation, most likely you're still an active part of the family, but it is different. Now, the second time we went back, which was, I think, 4 years ago. So that time there'd been quite a gap. I think there was 2 full years before we went back again. Since, so it was for the same, again, for Christmas. I think my mom had come out to visit at least once. Yeah, she came out
a few times.
I think she only came once in that period.
I feel like she came out a few times early on.
Yeah, I think that was only twice, though. Can't remember for sure. But yeah, that time was completely different. It was certainly too long, and I struggled with how long it was before I went home. 2 years. After that trip, I said to Rich, like, I can't do that again. We're going to have to find a way so that we don't have to, and we have. But it was completely different that time. I don't know what it was. Maybe because enough time had gone that I understood my place in the family, or how I did that, you know, how I maintained an active part of the family being far away. And we had a fantastic time.
The first time is always going to be weird.
Yeah, I think so. I think I probably had some insecurities about, will I not want to come back? You know, how's it going to feel?
But I feel like you've also done more now while you're away. Like, you speak to people more now. Like, you talk to your dad more, you talk to your sister more. Your niece is old enough now, you can go on Snapchat with her. I feel like you've maintained more communication with them.
Yeah, that was something after the second trip that I wanted to really work on being better at. My sister and I, while we get along really well, she's kind of tricky to get a hold of. She's got kids, she runs a business, so she, even before I moved away, she was a tricky one to get a hold of. My brother and I have always been really close, but at first we didn't really make much of an effort at talking, and that has changed over the past few years. My mom and I have always stayed in regular contact. That was hard at first because she was so emotional about me leaving. And my dad, yeah, he's gotten better. He's gotten like a smartphone in the past several years, so he has WhatsApp and stuff, so we can stay in better touch. So those things have all helped. But the second time, I think I just knew what to expect and how it felt to be back there, and again, you know, what my role is. Not, I feel really weird saying that. It's not really what I mean, my role, but just...
How you fit in?
I fit in the same as I used to, but it's just how I feel about how I fit in. I think when you leave, you have insecurities about, you know, I'm missing out on things, and you are. but that doesn't change anything. I know that may depend on people's family dynamics. Not everyone's family is the same as mine, but, you know, as long as you have a good relationship with your family and you maintain as much contact as possible, you know, you're still you. You're still the brother, the sister, the baby, you know, whatever you are. You know, that's still who you are. You just don't see him as much, really. But yeah, I genuinely think that each time I've gone out there since I moved here, I slot back into being that version of me a little bit more easily, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of having to come back, that's something else I wanted to talk about, because that can be really, really hard. And there's been only one or two, well, a few occasions where going out there and then coming back, I know when I'm going to be out there again. And that always makes it a lot easier. Or when someone else isn't going to be coming out to visit. So, for instance, it wasn't until I think when I went out on my own three years ago, I think, for Thanksgiving, Rich stayed here and let me have some, you know, one-on-one time with my family. And before I'd gone out there, we'd already arranged that my brother was going to come out and visit in the spring. And my parents had already started about talking, coming the next summer to be here for our 30th birthdays. So I was there in November. Saying goodbye to my brother was easy because I was going to see him in March. And then while I was out there, my parents booked their flight to come in September. So I had all this stuff to look forward to. And I have found that for me, that is a huge part of survival, knowing, right, this many months till I see someone again, whether they're coming here or I'm going there. And that's great. And I've also found sometimes that people coming to visit us makes me feel like I get more one-on-one or quality time. Because when we go to visit people there, it's great because we can see everyone. But we do feel a little bit robbed for time with everyone, don't we?
Yeah.
It is a mad dash to see my best friend and then, you know, family friends. And then because we're there for so long, and like, for example, my sister, she runs her own business, so she can only take so much time off. My brother-in-law has to arrange his vacation time like a year in advance, so he can't always arrange for it to be off. So basically, when we're there, apart from my mom and my dad, everyone's life is still the day-to-day, so we fit in around that. However, when people come here, they're usually only come for about a week. We can take that much time off work, and we're just full-on together nonstop. And also, it's only a small fraction of the family. We've never had everyone come visit at once. We just don't have the room, and it's never worked for everyone. So it's either like my parents come, or my sister and her family comes, or my brother comes. So this time was hard, I think, to come back a little bit. I mean, it always is. I always cry at the airport when my parents drop us off and, like, fumble through check-in, you know, to get myself together. But we do know that we're going back in May for my brother's wedding, and we know that my sister's coming to visit with her family in November for Thanksgiving. So there are a lot of things to look forward to. But in terms of what I try and do to make the transition into coming back here a little bit easier, well, usually when we go for Christmas, we're getting back just before the new year, I throw myself into planning goals and, you know, making plans for the new year. We usually see some of your family, and that's a good distraction. Get back to work. And just hit the ground running on resuming life, really. I try not to wallow too much and being sad and being homesick, because that doesn't help at all. this time the jet lag was so bad and I was up so much at night that was kind of hard, not thinking about stuff like that. You know, in the wee hours when you're just wide awake. But really, you've got your partner, you got to talk to them. And can you explain some of the things you try and do to help me when we come back and I'm pretty sad?
Not really.
No?
No. Well, I just try and console you.
Well, how?
I don't know. So I always console you.
He does do stuff.
I just talk you through it.
Yeah, you just comforting, and, you know, you let me pick what we do, if I want to go see a movie. You just kind of put me in charge, really, of whatever you want for the next few days completely, you know, whatever's going to make you feel better. And, like, you know, you are getting the things that make you feel comforted. And that's what you kind of always try to do for me and make me feel a little bit better. The other thing that we both try to focus on, or I try to focus on, but you also try to remind me of, is just think about all the wonderful memories we made. And I always look at it as going home to, as like going to my love petrol station or my love gas station. And I just fill up on family memories and love. And that carries me through to the next time. And we did get to do some amazing stuff. And we had a lot of fun this trip. So it was everything I really needed for now to carry me through till May. So we're back home. Going to start doing some great planning for the podcast. Doing some more blogs.
Getting some guests.
Yeah, getting some guests. We've been talking about that for a long time. We are still working on that. So yeah, thank you guys for bearing with us in our leave of absence. Happy to be back at it. And back on Instagram, talking with everyone. Again, if you have any questions, email us. We do read everything. And where can they find us, babe?
On the internet.
Where?
Longdistancetomarriage.co.uk.
God, we've been away so long.
Or is it .com? Hold on.
We've been away so long, we don't remember our website. And we're all muffled out on cold medicine, too. So apologies for that.
.com. Longdistancetomarriage.com.
And what's our Insta?
Fucking hell. You're testing me today.
You usually do these things on your own. It's at Mr. Mrs. Distance.
Yeah, Mr. Mrs. Distance.
Okay, we do more on Instagram and Twitter, so it's probably the best place to catch us.
Yes.
Right, thank you everyone. Happy New Year. And we're looking forward to spending 2019 with you. Bye.
Bye.